Last week, we began our new summer series entitled In for Service, where we are making sure we are equipped for the journey of where God is trying to take us, individually and collectively. We spoke last week about the need for patience with each other and with ourselves as we go on these journeys. We don't want to cause ourselves harm by being impatient or aggressively running through what we call those red lights, right? Which we said was a metaphor for rushing things. But we want to go through the green lights that God gives us with clarity and patience so that we can get to our respective destinations safely. Now, I wish Dennis was here because Dennis is the automotive technician and he absolutely loves car repair metaphors. I hope he's listening. But last week's sermon hopefully impressed upon us that we all must have significant levels of patience. If you take your car in for service, one of the things they make sure is that your oil levels check, right? Your brake fluid level and your coolant levels are ready and prepared for the ride that you're about to take. But today we are making sure that we are balanced and fully charged for the ride. Now, a good car battery, love this car metaphor, is essential for any journey. Hear this, the battery either brings life and ensures momentum, or it malfunctions and halts movement. Say that again. The battery either brings life and ensures momentum, or it malfunctions and it halts movement. Now, on a battery, there are two terminals, right? A positive and a negative terminal. And these two terminals must have balance to achieve forward momentum. An imbalance would halt that movement and keep all of us stuck in our tracks. So if, for instance, there is more of a negative charge than a positive charge, the battery simply does not work, which means too much negativity leads to no momentum and everything shuts down. So instead of going on that journey, you are on the fast track to nowhere, which is the perfect metaphor for people. As humans, as Christians, our goal should be to find balance. In fact, the Apostle Paul advises the Corinthian church that everything should be done in moderation. Work, school, relationships, hobbies, views, thoughts should all be regulated to make sure that we aren't focused on just one position, because we are all needed in a special way. And our physical, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual health depends on balance. Which is good advice, because we are living now in an ever-polarizing world. Our country and our world suffers because far too many people have thrown the balance of thoughts, feelings, opinions, and ideologies to the wayside to feed more and more on what we like. The greatest comparison for the lack of balances that we're seeing today is a seesaw. If you've ever gone to a playground and you've seen a whole bunch of kids on a seesaw, usually they're on both sides. Imagine a seesaw with six kids all on one side. They're all on the ground, and the other side of it is high. And there is no balance, there is no movement, everyone is just stuck. Without tolerance, without the acceptance of there being something on the other side for us, there can be no balance. Too much of one thing can be destructive, like the battery I just mentioned. And just like that battery, too much negativity in human beings can be destructive as well. In our text for today, we see the consequences of negativity and how detrimental it is to our forward momentum. Our scripture allows us to peek into a private moment between a husband and wife behind closed doors. Saucy. According to the prophetic literature, Job has the unfortunate role of being a pawn in a cosmic chess match between God and Satan, or the adversary. In Job chapter 1, the chapter over from what Julie read, Satan causes immeasurable suffering to Job by destroying his home, his cattle, which represents his livelihood, and most tragically, his children. Satan does this to prove to God that humans will ultimately love their things more than they love God, which is probably true for a lot of people, but not Job. Job reminds himself that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but the Lord is to be praised in all situations. God one, Satan zero. And if that wasn't enough, the next match, which is found in our reading today, Satan wants a rematch to prove that human beings value their bodies and its many functions more than God. Again, Satan might have won that round against most people, but not Job. Nevertheless, Satan strikes Job with a disease some have compared to leprosy. Job has painful, itchy boils and lesions on his skin, which as a result leave him in constant pain and discomfort. Now, this is where, in a fairy tale or a Hallmark movie, Job's unnamed wife would offer him words of love and encouragement and comfort. She would be scratching his scaly back, telling him that everything will eventually be all right. But this is not a Hallmark movie, this is the Bible. Instead of choosing positive words of comfort that would help Job find the momentum to move forward, Job's wife chooses violence. She chooses negativity, which only has the potential to lead him on the path to nowhere. The first of her two sentences is aimed to shame Job for trusting in God. She asks, "Do you still try to persist in your integrity?" Now, the richer translation for that statement is, "Are you still trying to look good for God by not lashing out at him for all your troubles?" In Job's lowest moment, he's trying to hold on to the hope that God would eventually deliver him from his circumstances. But Job's wife is pushing to try to kill that hope. So instead of bringing positivity to counteract the negativity that's going on in Job's life, she simply adds to the negativity. Oh boy, we know some people can add to some negativity, don't we? Sometimes the people closest to you are the ones that can harm you the most. Yeah, I said it. Let me say that again. Sometimes the people closest to you are the people that can harm you the most. When we are unsupportive to one another, when we ridicule one another, when we allow hateful and negative speech to come out of our mouths, we aren't being the help we're supposed to be. We now become the hindrance. Instead of being the solution, we become the problem. But it gets worse, because her second sentence takes that lack of support to a whole nother level. Her second sentence is simply, "Curse God and die," which is exactly what you want to hear from the person to be the most supportive person in your life, isn't it? Now, the Hebrew word for curse is the word barak, and it's ironically the same word that you use for bless, but she uses it in a mocking way. Curse God is her way of saying, don't bless God by maintaining your integrity. Mock God for the troubles that you now have. Since God obviously doesn't exist or obviously does not love you, since this calamity has come upon you, Job, insult God and let your suffering come to an end. If you go back to Job chapter 1, in God's first interaction with the adversary, Satan uses the same term, barak, that Job's wife uses as well. When negativity is weaponized, we are not doing God's work, we're doing the work of the enemy. And that work is causing people to second guess what God is up to in their lives. So to achieve balance, sometimes we have to rid ourselves of negativity in all its forms to keep pressing forward to what God has for us. If we are suffering from too much negativity in our lives, we have to make the conscious effort to restore the balance. Or this is what I call the get thee behind me, Satan approach, where we take all the Debbie Downers and all the negative Nancys and we just totally ignore them. Because I don't know about you, but I want to live a life with people who tell me what's possible instead of what's impossible. And you know what's possible? Everything. Because if you read Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says that everything is possible to the one who believes. Job's wife didn't believe. She had no faith, no hope, which means she served no purpose in his life, which means there was no need for her. I'll get back to that in a second. And we have no need for people who are going to hamper us with negative speech. Now, you may not see what God is doing. You may not hear God speaking, leading, and guiding. But you know what? Maybe it's because your faith isn't where it needs to be. And just because we don't have faith sometimes does not mean that God is not up to something. God is always up to something. And if you don't believe, just step aside and watch what God does in the lives of people who trust him. Now, that's where the sermon ended when I wrote it on Friday. But then the sermon took a really interesting turn yesterday. And the preachers know, when you think you're done, you read it again, God does this and shakes everything up. Here we go. At first, I said to myself, clearly Job's wife was unsaved. And my holier-than-thou attitude, right? Which means that Job and his unnamed and unsupportive wife were unequally yoked together. which is a term that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I must confess, I don't know how much this term is used in non-black church circles, but in predominantly black church culture, this phrase is probably used more than any. Why? Because to be unequally yoked is to be in a relationship that is doomed for failure because two people or more people are just simply living on different wavelengths. It's quiet in here. When you're trying to live for Jesus and your spouse or your parent or your friends have a completely different lifestyle than you, it gets pretty hard to coexist. Job's wife mocking his religion means that in no way, shape, or form was she going to be a help to him in his hour of need. And at first I said to myself, that must mean that every negative person in our lives should be removed. And then I read the scripture again, and that's where God convicted me. Here we go. Now, scripture is clearly written from a male point of view, which means that the man is usually the sympathetic character, but if we remember the story well, Job doesn't suffer alone. Job's wife lost her home too. She lost her livelihood too. She lost her children too. Sometimes negativity can be premeditated and calculating and methodical, and sometimes negativity comes from people who have not overcome the pain and negativity in their own lives. Real quiet in here. Some people are downers in life, simply just miserable people. We all know somebody like it. Some of us might be those people from time to time. And you know what they say, misery loves company, right? So maybe they're not being malicious, they simply need someone to suffer with them. There's an abundance of people like this in the world. They don't need confrontation for their negativity. Sometimes they just need love. These people who are negative, sometimes we feel like they need to be discarded, but the truth is probably they just need to be prayed for. Is Job's wife negative? Yes. And too much of that negativity can be toxic. But sometimes the darkness of negativity can be overcome by the positivity that shines from the light of the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Whether that negativity comes from people outside or whether that negativity sometimes comes from within. Job overcame the darkness with the light. So even when it's difficult to muster it, sometimes we have to be our biggest cheerleader and fill our hearts and our minds with positivity instead of negativity ourselves. Job was able to persevere because he was able to see deeper than his wife was. His wife only saw life on the superficial surface, but he was able to see much deeper than that. And sometimes God is saying to us, we need to see beyond the bad stuff, beyond the problems, and see the beauty that lives around us. If we're being honest, based on eternal sin calculator, right? We wouldn't deserve the homes that we live in, but God still provided. We don't deserve the cars that get us from point A to point B, but again, God provided. We don't deserve the blessings that we've been given, but again, God has still provided. And God has been loving and gracious and supportive to us and put up with our mistakes and sometimes put up with our negativity to help us make less mistakes. So sometimes we have to ignore people who are negative, and sometimes we just have to stop and see the beauty around us and allow that negativity, that negative spirit to be overcome by the positivity of who God is and what God has done in our lives. So yes, our health may not be perfect, but we're still here. And maybe we didn't make the team, but we're still here. Maybe our wallet isn't overflowing with greenbacks, but yet and still we are still here. So God is saying, maybe don't allow the abundance of negativity to keep you from moving forward. And don't be that negative Nancy or that Debbie Downer whose vocabulary is filled with no's and can'ts. And maybe we need to work harder to fill our vocabulary with yeses. So the question for us to consider today is, are we Job or are we Job's wife? Are we the person that's trying their best to move forward who just needs to block out the haters or fill our hearts with positivity? Or are we the one who are always bringing the energy down with saying the stuff that can't be done? God is hoping and praying that we are the vessels to restore the balance. Negativity will be around in some capacity, to be sure. How much negativity, though? and how close it can be to our proximity is our choosing. Again, God is leading us somewhere. Can we make sure that we are balanced and ready for where God is leading us? We have to be charged right to get from point A to point B. So if you have the tendency to be a Debbie Downer, like I can be sometimes, and I'm glad my family's not here to nod their heads yes, sometimes it's just a reminder of what God does and the belief that God really is up to something. So try to eliminate the negativity in your life. Stop believing that things can't happen. Stop believing that that person can't do a better job. We are quick to cast people aside. And I was so quick to throw Job's wife in the pool. Oh, she's bad. She's terrible. But no, she's a person who's experienced trauma. And because of that trauma, she doesn't think anything good could happen again. But we in Christ know better than that. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So let's not look at our circumstances from a negative point of view, but from a faithful, positive point of view that God can and will do something special. God is up to something. Are we ready? Are we balanced? Are we charged up for what God is prepared to do in our lives? Let us pray. Lord, you are up to something. Yes, in the midst of this chaotic world, you are up to something. With difficulty on the horizon, you are up to something. Whether it feels like our lives are monotonous, the same day in, day out stuff, and that nothing will ever change, you are up to something. Every age, every stage, every weave of this tapestry that we call life, you're up to something. And Lord, we want to believe that it's something good. We know it's something good because you've promised us good, that we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So Lord, help us. Help us to seize the moment. Help us to continue to dream big dreams, to believe that things are possible, that all things are possible. The things that seem out of reach, the things that people say we can't do, the places people say we can't go, the places we tell ourselves we can't go, and the things that we tell ourselves we can't do. Help us to block that negativity out and to be filled with faith, to believe that all your promises have always come to fruition and will always come to fruition. And this moment, this time, this dream will be nothing different. Fill our hearts, God, with determination, with resiliency, with passion, with joy, with great expectation for what you are about to do in each of our lives. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. You are up to something. And we want to be ready. We don't want to be lacking when the moment comes we aren't ready. Help us, God, to seize the moment. Help us to do the work to be ready to open our hearts and our minds to receive the blessings that you have for us. Push us, God, even when we aren't ready to be pushed. Show us those great and unsearchable things once again, God. And fill us with your power to be able to know that those dreams will come true. Bless us and keep us in the midst of all that's going on. We claim victory over our circumstances and our situations. We claim a brighter day, that our latter days will be greater than our former days. So whatever is in our minds and our hearts that we need or we want that you reveal to us, Lord, help us to know that it's more than a certainty, it's an eventuality. That these things will come to us, and all things are possible for those who believe. Bless us. Bless us. Bless us mightily indeed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.